13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, and we'll commence our reading at the first verse. Acts chapter 13, and commencing to read at verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Mani, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Cilicia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so was his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Ending our reading there at the verse 13 of the chapter, and we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for Christ's sake. The preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has always met with opposition. If we had time, we could certainly trace that line, that theme, right throughout the Word of God. A few texts of Scripture will be suffice to underline that truth. We can see as we come to God's Word that the Jews in general opposed the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I refer you to Acts 17. And words found in verse 13, and they are these: "But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people." There they were, opposing the preaching of the word of God, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we come, for example, to the 6th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, we read there in the verse 9 of certain who were in the synagogue, and they are disputing with Stephen. But then as we read on, we find in verse 10, "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." Then, just at that moment in time, "then they suborned men," or they procured men, "which said, 'We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God.' And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses." Here again we see opposition to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Sadducees, which were a sect of the Jews, you will know that they didn't believe in the resurrection at all. And they also opposed the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Let me again just refer you to a scripture reference, Acts chapter 4, and the opening verse we read, "And as they spake unto the people," that is Peter and John, "as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide." Here again they are mounting opposition to the preaching of the gospel. We come to Acts chapter 5. And in the verse 17 these words are recorded. "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles, and put them in the common prison." Again, opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then when we come to this 13th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, part of which we were reading together this evening, we find that again there is opposition being mounted. We might in one sense say that it's a different kind of opposition. Nevertheless, we'll see before the message has concluded, I trust, that the source of the opposition is basically the same. We discover here in Acts chapter 13 that Paul is setting forth on his first missionary journey along with Barnabas. We discover that they have got as far as the island of Cyprus. And it's when they are here in Cyprus that they meet with an individual who is very much opposed to the Word of God, very much opposed again to the preaching of the truth, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that this individual's name is Bar-Jesus, and he is described by the Apostle Paul in the verse 10 as a child of the devil, an enemy of all righteousness. And this individual was in the household of Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus was the deputy governor of the island of Cyprus. You will know that at that time Cyprus was part of the Roman Empire. And he is residing in the capital of the island of Cyprus, which at that time was Paphos. And this deputy governor, Sergius Paulus, on hearing of Barnabas and Saul, or Barnabas and Paul, on the island, preaching forth the gospel, proclaiming the word of God, is desirous to hear God's word. That's specifically recorded there in Acts 13 in the verse 7. He called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But. And the verse 8 says, "Elymas the sorcerer," for so is his name by interpretation. That's just referring to this individual who's going to mount such opposition, and we've already seen his name was Bar-Jesus from the verse 6. It's the same individual. What does he do? There in verse 8, it's recorded that he withstood them. The word actually means to resist. He resisted them. He opposed them, seeking to turn away the deputy, that is Sergius Paulus, from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" And then Paul goes on to say this in verse 11, "And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." Immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. And when that occurred, when that happened, when that took place, It was all being witnessed by the deputy here on the island, Sergius Paulus. And we note that it's recorded there in verse 12 of Acts 13, then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This deputy, Sergius Paulus, believed to the saving of his soul. In other words, this man came to know Christ as his Lord and Savior. But as we take note of this narrative and of all that is taking place here, it's very clear that there was a battle raging for the soul of Sergius Paulus. The devil was mounting great opposition, and we were thinking about the opposition that the devil mounts to the believer this morning. But we're going to see here in this passage the opposition that the devil mounts to try and prevent a soul coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. Souls are not easily won because of the opposition of the devil. And yet here is one soul that was gloriously saved by the grace of God. And I want to have you just consider with me what takes place here in these verses in Acts chapter 13, as we remember that there's a battle raging for the soul of Sergius Paulus, the deputy governor of the island of Cyprus. Let's come first of all then and take a look at the resistance that was mounted. It's clear as we read these verses 6, 7 and 8 of Acts 13 that this resistance is great. Whenever they had completed their missionary efforts on the island of Cyprus, having started on the eastern side, they have come now to the capital of the island, Paphos, on the western side. And here is this man in verse 6. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. Now, his name just simply means son of Joshua or son of the Savior. And you might think, just taking note of his name, that this is going to be a most helpful individual, a most pleasant individual, if we only just looked at the meaning, the literal meaning of his name. But it was really a false name that he had. For it didn't in any way represent the true nature of his character and his mission. We could say it was something of a false name in that sense. A false name, if you like, in order to try and commend himself to those that he would come into contact with, to those that he would speak to, when they would hear his name, Bar-Jesus, and know the meaning of that name, they might immediately think, well, here is someone who's out to do us no harm at all. Here is someone that we could surely listen to, at least with some degree of profit. But the very opposite is the case. I said a moment or two ago that Cyprus at that time was part of the Roman Empire. And the Roman, what could we say, the Roman aristocracy had by this time, so many of them, they had stopped believing in their Roman gods. And they really had nothing else to put in their place. And what is more, there was an expectation that a deliverer was coming, possibly from the east. And these two things put together meant that, if you like, the higher classes would listen to anyone who would be willing to speak to them about matters of life and death. And this man, Bar Jesus, whose name means son of Joshua or son of the Saviour, was attached to the household of the deputy Roman governor, Sergius Paulus. Sergius Paulus was the proconsul on the island. And the proconsul was one appointed by the Senate, the Roman Senate. And he has in his household this man, Bar Jesus. In fact, it's very specifically stated in the verse 7 concerning Bar Jesus that he was with the deputy of the country. And those words mean that he was habitually in his service. Habitually in his service. So you can see the opportunities that this man, Bar Jesus, had to speak to Sergius Paulus. Opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. Because he was in his service. But having considered his name, and remember, we're going to look here at the resistance that's going to be mounted to the soul of Sergius Paulus. Having considered this man's name, we cannot fail but note also his nationality. Because there in the verse 6, we're told that he was a Jew. He was a Jew, albeit a renegade Jew. Maybe even just a professed Jew. But let us note this, that throughout the world, the Jews were known as the people to whom God had spoken. And so if someone wanted to hear about God, then they would be likely to listen to a Jew. And here we find Sergius Paulus, despite having this man habitually in his service, in his household, no doubt speaking to him often, yet we discover that this man, Sergius Paulus, has a desire in his heart for something. And what is it? There in verse 7, he desired to hear the word of God. He desired to hear the word of God. And this is something that was not just momentary. It wasn't that he just felt for a few moments, you know, I wouldn't mind hearing God's word today. And then it passed from his mind. No, the meaning of these words is such, particularly the word translated desired, that it indicates that in this man's heart, that is the heart of Sergius Paulus, the deputy governor of the island, there is a very earnest desire to hear God's word. Now I wonder tonight, is that the case with you? You might be able to tell me of so many things that you have heard that the world has to say. And you have listened to much of the world's message as it has been trumpeted forth into your ears. Just as Sergius Paulus must have listened to much of what Bar Jesus had to say when he was in his service. But yet, like Sergius Paulus, you have a desire. And you can't really explain it. Perhaps you can't fully understand it yourself, why it should be so. That you have a desire to hear the word of God. And in fact, that's why you came to the meeting tonight. Maybe you weren't going to come. But as you thought about it and you considered it, there was something of a desire in your heart to hear God's word. And perhaps you didn't find it all that easy to come. It was difficult just to
just to make your way to God's house. But nevertheless, there's something in your heart tonight of a desire, a really earnest desire for the Word of God, just as there was this earnest desire in the heart of Sergius Paulus. Now, what's the explanation? Well, there's only one explanation. And it's simply this, that the Lord Himself was sovereignly and graciously at work in the heart of Sergius Paulus, and that's why he had this desire to hear the Word of God, because he didn't have that desire in and of himself. And if there's that desire in your heart tonight, I want you to know that that desire is there because of the Lord in grace and mercy by His Spirit working in your heart to even give you such a desire as you have to even listen to the Word of God. And that's exactly what was happening here. Now, when he began listening to the Word of God, and Saul or Paul and Barnabas were here, these missionaries, and these missionaries were bringing God's Word to this man, Sergius Paulus. They were here and they were preaching the gospel to him. And you know something? The message of the gospel was so different to what he had been listening to from the lips of Bar Jesus. And he no doubt could see that there was such a difference, to the extent that obviously he began listening very intently. And the more the gospel was being proclaimed in his hearing, the more the Word of God was being preached, the more eager he became to listen. But he had been listening prior to this to a false message from Bar Jesus. Because there in the verse 6, this man is described as a false prophet. But here now, Bar Jesus, having spoken the false message, being the false prophet, Sergius Paulus is now hearing the true message. He is now listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Bar Jesus could see that he was becoming very interested, and he didn't like that. And so we read of opposition being mounted. And you are here tonight with that desire in your heart to hear God's Word. And you're listening to it. And you're listening intently in your own heart to the gospel message tonight. But the devil doesn't like you listening so intently as that. And the devil is going to mount opposition, just in the same way as he used Bar Jesus here to mount opposition to Sergius Paulus hearing the gospel, this man who desired to hear the Word of God. Notice in verse 8 that it's recorded that he withstood them. He withstood them. He is opposing them. But how is he opposing them? That is, Barnabas and Paul, along with Sergius Paulus. How is he opposing? How is he resisting? In what way is he doing it? Well, when we examine the words a little more closely there, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith there in verse 8, we discover that he is withstanding them, opposing them, mounting resistance to what is happening by trying to divert attention away to something else. That's, in essence, the meaning of those words there in verse 8, to turn away. To turn away the deputy, Sergius Paulus, from the faith. By getting his mind, if he can manage it at all, to be filled with other thoughts about other things of far less importance. And I want you to know that the devil seeks to do exactly the same today. He wants to get you thinking about something that's really unimportant and of no help to your soul and of no value to your soul. He wants to withdraw your mind away to think on those things with a view to what? Having you discard the message of the gospel. Having you reject the message that you have been listening to. Reject the word of God that has been going forth in your hearing. Here is this man, and he's seeking to withstand, to turn away. And the word there, withstanding them, seeking to turn away, indicates that he is actively engaged in so doing. This is the kind of resistance that is being mounted. And yet, despite all of this resistance that's been mounted, we're going to see in a moment or two that the grace of God triumphed in the heart of Sergius Paulus. Just in the very same way that the grace of God triumphed when there were those in Thessalonica who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's recorded of them in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 9 that they turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. God's grace triumphed in their hearts. And how did that come about? Well, let me just read you one verse in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, and this is what Paul said concerning them. He's thanking the Lord that when they received the word of God, when they received the word of God, and that means that they were listening and in their minds, they were being persuaded that God's word is truth. That's the actual meaning of the word there, received. They were listening to the gospel, they were listening to the word of God, and in their minds they were being fully convinced, fully persuaded, this is the truth. But then Paul went on to say that not only did they receive the word of God in that sense, he says, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. That second word there, received, is a different one from the first one. I've said to you, when he speaks about them receiving the word of God, he's referring to them being fully persuaded in their minds that this is the truth, this is the gospel. But then when he speaks about them receiving it not as the word of men, but as the word of God, he's speaking about them receiving that truth of which they have been fully persuaded in their minds, receiving it into their hearts. Into their hearts. Because they would never receive the truth in their hearts until, first of all, they were fully persuaded of it in their minds. Can you see then why Bar Jesus was so actively engaged in seeking to draw away the attention of Sergius Paulus from the Word of God? Knowing that if he were never convinced and persuaded of the truth in his mind, he would never receive it into his heart. This is the type of opposition, the resistance that's being mounted. Then I want you to notice the rebuke that was made. The rebuke that was made here by Paul. We have it in verses 9, 10, and 11. Saul, or Paul, being filled with the Holy Ghost, we are told in verse 9, sets his eyes upon Bar-Jesus. And he says this in verse 10, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? You might say those are scathing words. And you would be right. They are scathing words. And understand that the most scathing words in the New Testament are directed against those putting up opposition or putting a stumbling block in the way of sinners coming to Christ. And that's exactly what this man Bar-Jesus was doing. He was putting up every stumbling block he could in the way of Sergius Paulus coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I refer you to those verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Listen, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. What scathing words are those? The Lord's woe to the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them hypocrites because they're being such a stumbling block to others entering into the kingdom of God. And here is Paul speaking forth these scathing words of rebuke. Now remember what's happening here. There's every attempt being made to keep Sergius Paulus from coming to Christ, and the battle is on for his soul. And so Paul is rebuking Bar-Jesus. Remember, he has been withstanding the message of the gospel, wanting to turn away the deputy from the faith. And he rebukes him in this manner. He says that he's full of all subtlety. That really means deceit. And we were thinking about deceit this morning, how that the devil always attempts to deceive. And here is an attempt being made here to deceive. And in the rebuke of Paul to this man, he says, O full of all subtlety, full of all deception. And the actual word there, subtlety, in its origin, it can refer to the bait that the fisherman might use. I wonder why the fisherman would use bait to catch the fish so that the fish would not see the hook that's there covered by the bait. As one old Puritan used to say, the devil is very good at showing the bait and hiding the hook. Deception. And Paul says of this individual that he's full of all subtlety. He's full of all deception. And he's out to deceive Sergius Paulus if he can. But then he went on to say in this rebuke, full of all subtlety and all mischief. The word mischief there really refers to lightness or levity. And the meaning would seem to be this, that as far as Bar-Jesus was concerned, it didn't concern him in the least that this man Sergius Paulus would be turned away from the gospel. In fact, it was something of a light thing. He wasn't treating it seriously at all. He had no conscience about the matter, none whatsoever. Because he's seeking, as Paul says there at the end of verse 10, to pervert the right ways of the Lord. And the word right there, if we were giving it a literal translation, it would just be straight. The straight ways of the Lord. The devil likes the crooked ways. But the Lord's way is not the crooked way. The Lord's way is the straight way.
And he says that he's not ceasing to pervert the right ways of the Lord. In other words, what Bar-Jesus was seeking to do was distort the truth. And distort the truth, or pervert the truth, and God's word is the truth. And he was seeking to do that by misrepresentation and by misapplication. And Paul says he's a child of the devil, or a son of the devil. That's who he really was, despite his name, meaning son of Joshua or son of the Savior. He's a child of the devil. He's an enemy of all righteousness. And then, in verse 11, he says, "The hand of the Lord is upon me." The hand of the Lord is upon me. Now, in the previous, or in two chapters earlier in the book of the Acts, Acts chapter 11, and the verse 21, we read about the hand of the Lord. And we read these words in verse 21 of Acts 11, "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Now, there's the hand of the Lord in mercy. A great number believing, a great number being saved, a great number turning to the Lord and trusting Him. That's the hand of the Lord in mercy. But here in Acts chapter 13 and the verse 11, it's not the hand of the Lord in mercy, it's the hand of the Lord in judgment that is falling. "Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Now, what's the connection? What's the connection between this rebuke, in all that it contained and in all that took place as the result of it, and the saving of the soul of Sergius Paulus? Well, that brings us to, in the third and final place, the result of all of this. Because when we get to verse 12, the words there are these: then. That's not the then of logical sequence. This word "then" is referring to a point in time. Then, the deputy, when he saw what was done. Well, what did Sergius Paulus, the deputy, see? What was done? Well, we've just been reading what was done there in verse 11. The hand of God's judgment fell on Bar-Jesus. And I want you to see that it fell on him suddenly. Verse 11, "And immediately there fell on him." The word "fell" there really has the meaning of suddenness, as in the case of a sickness coming upon an individual and coming upon them, we might just say, suddenly. It just seemed to fall upon them in a moment of time. And that's what happened here to Bar-Jesus. Immediately there fell, suddenly, the hand of God's judgment fell upon him. There was a mist, there was a darkness, he was blind, and he was going about wanting someone to guide him and lead him. And yet, prior to this, he had been busy telling Sergius Paulus a false message. And now we read in verse 12, "Then the deputy, when he saw what was done." In other words, when he saw the judgment that fell on Bar-Jesus, he believed. When he realized that God's judgment could fall so swiftly, so suddenly, just in a moment of time,
It was real. This wasn't something that he imagined, or that someone had told him about. You know, there was an individual and suddenly he was blind. He actually saw this. He was a witness to what happened, to what took place. And something of the fear of God gripped his heart. And I wonder, did he begin thinking, well, if God can judge as swiftly as that, if judgment could fall on bar Jesus like that, couldn't it fall on me too? And where would I be? And where would my soul be if God judged me and cut me off in a moment of time and I was no more upon this earth? And when Sergius Paulus saw that, he believed, being astonished. That's what it says, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. This came home to his heart. I wonder, has the Lord been speaking in that kind of way to you? Where you have known of someone, and just very, very suddenly, they were taken away. Has that spoken to your heart? Has that spoken to your heart? What if you were suddenly taken away? How is it with your soul? Because you're not going to have an opportunity beyond the grave. You're not going to have an opportunity beyond the grave. If you're not right with God before you die, you'll not be getting right after death has come. Therefore, I urge you to be as Sergius Paulus here, to believe the gospel. Because the doctrine of the Lord is really speaking of the gospel. Believe the gospel, believe the word of God, which commands you to repent of your sin and trust the Savior. The battle raged here for the soul of this man, didn't it? But the devil was defeated. The devil was defeated in this man's life. Satanic resistance and opposition was overcome by the grace and power of God. And it can be in your heart too tonight. Is there a battle raging now in your heart? You're hearing the gospel call, you're listening to the word of God, and God is calling you in grace and mercy to repent of sin, to turn away from it, and to trust Christ. And the old devil is battling and saying, now look, there's no need to do it tonight. Why don't you wait a while? Why don't you think about it more? You've got plenty of time. And that battle is raging, as it was here in the heart and soul of Sergius Paulus. But he believed. He didn't waste any time. Desirous to hear the word of God, and he heard it, and he came believing and trusted Christ. May you come tonight believing and trust Christ as your Savior. Let's bow in prayer. We thank thee again for thy word.